Lord's Day 47. What does the first petition mean? Hallowed be your name means, help us to truly know you, to honor, glorify, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. And let's see how this is applied and taught to us in Malachi 1, this teaching in the Lord's Prayer. Malachi 1, page 1487. In your pew Bibles, 1487, the last book of the Old Testament, and the last book given by God before the coming of Christ. Malachi 1, verses 6 through 14. Hear God speak of his concern for the honor of his name in Judah. Malachi 1, verse 6, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am a father, where's the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect or the fear due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, O priests, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? You place defiled food on my altar, but you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now implore God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty. And I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying of the Lord's table it is defiled, and of its food it is contemptible. And you say, what a burden, and you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, crippled, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands? Says the Lord. Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. There ends the reading of God's word. May he bless that word to our hearts and lives. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, the most important issue in all the world is God's name. There's no issue. There's no matter. There's nothing more important than God's name, God's honor, God's reputation. It's not about our names and our reputation and our honor. Life is about God's name. And that's what Jesus taught us. When we, through his disciples, asked, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, when you pray, pray this way, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Make the name of your God the first and most important issue in your prayers and in all your desires and in all your living. That's number one. As one author put it, this is truly the prayer that puts the world upside down, because the world is the opposite. Because ever since Adam and Eve turned their backs on God and despised his name and his word and they honored Satan, the world has profaned God's name. So if God hears and answers this prayer, and he does, because as a loving heavenly father, he listens to his children. And he's the God who has appointed prayer as the means through which he's going to accomplish his great and glorious purposes. As Paul said to the Corinthians, you helped me with your prayers. Your prayers are not in vain. If God hears and answers prayer, and he does, then making the honor of God's name the first and most important desire and goal of your prayer and your whole life will turn the world upside down and rather set it upright again. Because the world is upside down right now in despising the name of God. And Jesus said, I came to set things right again and say, the honor of God's name is first. Nothing else really matters in comparison. And so Jesus taught us to make God's name our highest goal in education. You're going back to school this week, right? The biggest issue is not whether you like math, but how can I honor God in math? The biggest issue is not when the bell rings and it's time to go home. It's have I learned to glorify God today? The biggest issue is not even your marks, but have I studied my hardest to learn about God's glory in this subject? It's the highest goal of marriage, too. Marriage is not about me fulfilling my dreams or us doing what we want. It's about God's name being honored. It's the highest goal in raising your family and going to work in the morning. It's the highest goal as a teacher, as a student, as a farmer, as a carpenter, as a worshiper. Jesus taught us in the first request to make God's name our highest goal. We want to see that's because of the greatness of this name, of God's name. And because of the problem, secondly, of profaning His name that lives in this world and in us. And it's so that the nations and we ourselves will honor God's name. It's because of the greatness of His name. The name of God really and truly is the center of the universe. It's not gravity. It's God. The name of God is truly the center of life, the center of everything. In Jesus Christ, the whole world holds together, says Colossians 1. And this world isn't really rightly ordered until everything and everybody exalts the name of God above everything else. And Jesus is honored as the center, as the first priority, the highest goal. And my life isn't rightly ordered until God is first. And I honor His name above my own feelings and my own opinions, my own reputation and honor. Hallowed be Your name. Jesus taught us to pray. Hallow is not a word we know very well. We use it when we say Halloween. But so we don't know what it means very much. It's a verb. To hallow means to treat God's name as holy. To honor God's name. To exalt God's name. That's what it means to hallow God's name. At first it might sound like a declaration of praise. Holy is Your name. Your name is holy. It's not an adverb, though. It's a verb. It's a prayer. Treat God's name as holy. Lord, Heavenly Father, help me to honor Your name in all I think and say and do. Help me to help others. Honor Your name so that all the nations exalt the name of God. There's still so much profanity in my life and in the world. So much putting God down and degrading God. Father, may we in the whole world learn to honor Your name. Exert Your great power through Jesus Christ, Your Son, and in the Spirit and through Your Word, exert Your great power in such a way that our lives are turned right side up again. Turned away from dishonoring and despising and dismissing Your name, to honoring and exalting and seeking first the glory of Your name, or help us to put You first in a me-first world. And the stench of the me-first culture also blows through our windows, doesn't it, and into our lives and homes and churches. We live in a world that says, make sure that you're being honored and appreciated and treated right, for that comes first. If you're not, assert yourself. Claim honor for your own name. Yeah, religion's okay. But self comes first. Yeah, it's all right to have God in your life, but the farm comes first. High marks come first. Even if you have to profane the Lord's day and study to get high marks. You students, you're going off to school and you're going to be tempted to say high marks mean more than anything else. So even if God says, keep the Lord's Day holy, I got to study because I got an exam or I got a paper due. High marks isn't the most important part of your education. It's honoring God's name, honoring His word, honoring His will. That comes first. So, Lord, help us to put You first in a me-first world.
In a world that says you got to keep your job even if you have to cut corners to keep it. That you have to maintain your investment even if you have to cheat to keep it.
Help us to put your name first, Lord, not only because you tell us to, and that's enough reason forever, but because your name really is first. That's reality. You created the whole world to revolve around your name and your glory. Your name holds the universe together. It holds the molecules together. It holds marriage together. It holds families together. The purpose of work is to honor your name. The purpose of eating and drinking is to glorify God. Whatever you do, even whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. So help us to put your name first, not only because you tell us to, which is a good enough reason, but because your name is first. The world really is about your name. And if I don't get that, my life will go to ruin. It really will. My family will go to ruin. My career will ruin me. My business will take my soul captive and make me its slave if I don't see that your name is at the center. We've read that in Malachi 1. God says to Israel through the prophet Malachi, I'm a great king, says the Lord Almighty. And my name is to be feared among the nations because I'm a great king. Listen to these words from Psalm 138, verse 2, where David says, you've exalted above all things your name and your word. You've exalted above all things your name and your word. His name and his word is above absolutely everything else in this world and in your life. God's put it there because he's God. Or another example is in the book of Nehemiah. The Levites are leading the Israelites in a confession of sin. And here's what they say to the congregation. The Levites say, stand up and bless the Lord your God from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Your name is exalted above all blessing and praise. Nehemiah 9, verse 5. And then Psalm 103, you know it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. His name deserves all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everything that is within me, my whole life. His life, his name is more important than my life. That's why I'm willing to die when his name is honored through my suffering and death. That's why Jesus Christ came into the world. Sin is putting the world in reverse order. Where our names and honor and reputation come first. Our feelings and desires are number one. Me first. God, well, you'll have to get whatever's left over. You're at the bottom. That's what Adam and Eve did when they sinned, and we are that in them. But Jesus Christ came as the new Adam to set the world aright and put God's name first again. To put things in the right order. That's why he died on the cross. To destroy the wrong order in his flesh. And that's why he rose again on Sunday morning. To bring to life the new order of God first. God's name first. And it's because of Christ that lives can be put in the right order again, and marriages can be put in the right order again, and families can be put in the right order again, and schools can come back to God. It's the great tragedy of a secular education where we have said the name of God is banned from this education. It has no place, which means true education is impossible here. But Christ came to put his name back in the bottom of every subject. That's how Harvard, remember, was established. That Christ may be laid in at the bottom of every subject. That's why Jesus died. That's why he rose. To put to death the reverse, the backwards, the cursed world order that puts him at the bottom. To make things right again. And he teaches us to pray then that that new order for which he died and rose, and we will pray that that order will take over our lives and take over the whole world. And it's not make America great again. That's idolatry. It's make God's name great again. That's the theme of the saints. Yeah. Hallowed be your name means help us to truly know you, honor you, glorify you, praise you for all your works and all that shines forth from them. Your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And he taught us to pray against, secondly, the profaning of God's name. Jesus is addressing not only in the most important goal in this opening prayer, hallowed be your name, but also addressing the most pressing problem in the world, profaning God's name.
And that's the problem we meet in the prophet Malachi. God says in verse 6, if I'm a father, where's the honor due me? If I'm a master, where's the respect or the fear due me? It's you, O priests, who show contempt for my name.
Malachi ministered beside Nehemiah in Judah around 450 BC. The people had come back from their exile in Babylon about 100 years before that. They had rebuilt the altar. They had rebuilt the temple. They had restored the priesthood. They had rebuilt the walls. Worship was restored again. But there was a huge problem. They had lost their confidence in God. They began to lose faith in His Word. They began to say His promises aren't real. But they still showed up at church. Oh, yeah. But they didn't want to be there. They were just going through the motions. It was just a routine. And they were cutting corners. You see, you can profane God's name right in His temple while you worship Him and take His songs in your lips. And that's what was going on.
Well, they were kind of snotty kids. And they argue with God. We have that conversation recorded here. God records the way they were responding to Him. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? They're not repenting, they're arguing. Verse 7, you place defiled food on my altar. Oh, but you ask, how have we defiled you? No, not really. How? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, isn't that wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, isn't that wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? What would your prime minister say if you brought him your dead cow? This is for you. I want to honor you. That would communicate something, wouldn't it? Would your governor be pleased? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? And I am so much higher and infinitely better than any governor. Now implore God to be gracious to us. Verse 9, with such offerings from your hands will He accept you, says the Lord Almighty. God's offended by their worship because they're dishonoring His name. They're showing contempt for His name by not giving Him their first and their best. They're saving the best of the lambs for themselves and saying that God can have the sick and the weak ones. And by doing that, they're actually saying God isn't important and worshiping Him is a real burden. Worshiping really gets in the way of what's really important in my life. But that's the law, so we have to do it. I was raised that way going to church, so I got to do it. Let's throw God our scraps and get Him off our backs. That was their theme. Let's throw God our scraps and get Him off our backs. Is that honoring His name? You don't think God can see through that? He's no dummy. He's not mocked by pretend worship. He says in verse 10, oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I'll accept no offering from your hands. I'd rather that you shut your Bibles, shut your hymnals, shut your church doors, stay home, than offer me such contempt and show just how little use you have for me. Show that you're really not that into me. You're much more into yourselves. Remember, the Lord had already said that to Aaron and when He killed Nadab and Abihu for offering unauthorized worship. By those who draw near to me to worship, I will be hallowed. 2,450 years later, Malachi 1 still speaks to the church. How are we profaning God's name today? How about in worship? How about in the rest of life? Is His name really our heart's desire? And prayer, the hallowing of His name in my life, in my family, in my church, in my neighborhood. Is that my first desire? Is that my first prayer? How do you sing? Do you honor your feelings first? And if you don't have feelings for the song, you don't sing. Or just do grumbly mumbly. You think God's impressed with that? Or do you give your all to God for the sake of the honor of His name? And when you give offerings, you give cheerfully and thankfully and sacrificially 10, 20, 30% because God's name and God's mission and God's kingdom is far more important to you than your truck and your business and your wardrobe and your vacations and your house. And when you open the scriptures to hear the law, to hear God's word, to hear the sermon, you open your heart wide and hunger to know God better. As the prayer of Richard of Chichester goes, remember day by day of these three things I pray. To see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, to follow thee more nearly day by day. And when you come to worship, do you just put in time to look good, to stay out of hell, to keep God off your back, to please your parents, to keep up a routine, but God's just really a burden and a bother to you? That's profaning God's name. And do we treat God as unimportant outside of worship every day? Ignore the Bible and ignore prayer and not put Him first in all my choices. And yeah, I have time for sports three nights a week, but I'm way too busy to fully commit to a Bible study. What does that say? Really, how important, how big, how great is God? And knowing, blessing, praising, and worshiping His name and honoring His name. How big is God to you and to me? That's the challenge. It's the challenge of Malachi 1. And the call, our third point, is that we repent. And we learn to live and pray this prayer, that God's name be honored. Jesus taught us to make God's name first in our prayer life, and so in our whole life. Jesus is the one who knows the will and perfect plan of God. And He taught us to pray in line with God's perfect will and plan. What is God's perfect will and plan for us and this world? We read that in Malachi 1. Go to verse 11. Here's God's plan. My name will be great among the nations. From the rising to the setting of the sun, from east to west, the whole world round. In every place, incense, that stands for prayer in the new covenant, and pure offerings, that stands for praise, will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. That's God's desire and His will and His plan, is that all nations come to know and worship and treat His name as holy, as first, as the center of marriage, family, work, school, life, math, the universe. It's even the center of heaven. But He says, verse 12, you profane it. That's my desire. And Jesus came to teach us to pray according to His Father's desire. But you profane it. Verse 13, you say, what a burden. You bring injured, crippled, or diseased animals. And then verse 14, cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. And then the chapter again closes with the main theme. For I am a great king and my name is to be feared among the nations. So we're stuck here, aren't we? On the one hand, we have Judah's profane worship, which is so far from God. On the other hand, we have God's desire for true worship, that His name be honored everywhere. They're so far apart that we can't solve the problem. Only Jesus can. And that's where Malachi 2, 3, and 4 go. With God promising to send the messenger of the covenant. You know that from Malachi 3. You've heard that in Handel's Messiah. The messenger of the covenant will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord. Then the Lord, through the messenger of the covenant, through Jesus, will bring about right worship and right honor for His name. Because Jesus came for this. The name of God is being profaned among us and among the nations. And we have a deep problem with that. I do. You do in my worship, my work, my studies. And when as husbands and wives, we don't treat each other as God's gift. We need a Savior and Mediator who will take our profanity and make it His own. And that's what Jesus did. Remember when He was before the Sanhedrin, they charged Him with profanity, blasphemy, and put Him to death for that. That was Him taking my profanity and making it His own, becoming a curse for me. And then He rose again to fill me with His blessing and to teach me His life, give me His life, of living to the glory of God. Remember Jesus as he was going to the cross said, "What shall I pray? Father, save me from the pain?" No, but Father, glorify your name. It's not about me first, said Jesus. Take away my pain. But you first, Father, glorify your name. And now Jesus came, the messenger of the covenant, to share that life with me. Forgive me for my profanity. Wash me clean. And to give me the life that's not me first, but God first. And this is where we must go, all of us today, to Jesus, to have that dismissing of God's name in our lives and putting him somewhere second or near the bottom and turning our lives upside down, or rather right side up again, to teach us to make this our highest goal and prayer and desire. Lord, help me to honor your name in all my worship, to give you my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength in every part. Lord, help me to know you more and more, to open your word, to help others know your word, to join in the fellowship of God's people also in Bible study, to drop lesser things so that we may together pursue you. Help me this year in school to glorify your name in my Bible studies, my math class, my English class, and grammar class, and history class, seeing that God is the center of every part. And when I goof off and interrupt the teacher in the class, I'm interrupting the study of God. Oh, Lord, I don't want to do that this year. I'm going to leave the pathway open for the teacher to instruct and us to learn. I don't want to get in the way of that. I wish I would have thought of that a long time ago. You can. God's talking to you today from his word. Ask for help, Lord. Help me to hallow your name today. On the bus, at school, if I'm studying at home. Help me to be more ready to lose a friend than to dishonor your name. To lose a job than break your commandments. To lose 100,000 than to cheat and protect an investment. Even to be willing to suffer persecution for the sake of your name. As the apostles said when they were suffering, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, so precious, so important, so big to them, that if serving him brought suffering, praise the Lord. Your name is so big, so important to us. Well, may Jesus, through his Spirit, lead us to pray this prayer, hallowed be your name, and to make this prayer the first and ultimate desire of every life here. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we praise you, we worship you, we adore you. Thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, into a backwards, perverted, twisted, upside-down world to set things right again, where your name could be seen and honored and adored as the center again. Show that to us in our lives. And Lord Jesus, fill us with this desire and this prayer, that your name may never be blasphemed by anything we think, say, or do, but always honored and praised. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.